I'm going to read another part of the Lord's Word, Matthew chapter 28, finishing the series through the Gospel according to Matthew. So you've got a page number there, page 1000. It's actually on the board, it just says the first verse, but we're going to read verse 16 through to the end of the chapter. So at the very bottom there of a page 1000. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep that passage open. Joel is now going to come and teach us from it.
Thanks, Joel. I'm Joel. I'm the assistant minister here. I'm going to look at this passage together with you all. And shall we all pray before we look at this passage? Father God, we thank you for your word, and thank you for all that you have shown us through your word, that you have sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for us. Thank you that he had died for us so that we can have forgiveness from God and life eternal with you. Thank you that he has risen and he is reigning. Thank you that he is with us and he is calling us to do your will. Help us to learn the things that you want us to learn and do the things that you call us to do. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, I came to Dagenham in September 2013. Before that, I was in Grace Church Manchester for 6 years. From that time when I started working at Grace Church, I was curious about a person called Donald Lees. One of the reasons was that he was the only member in the church in his 80s, but was actively serving the church where the average age of the members were around the age of 35. So one day I asked him, how does he find it being part of a church where there are not many of his age? He said, "It's difficult, Joel," he said. I was previously in a church where there were people of my age. But then the church wanted to plant a church to reach students who were studying at Manchester University. Not many wanted to be part of the church plan, so I thought I should volunteer. It's because I became a Christian when I was at the university. So I thought I should support the gospel work that happens among university students. Even though it is difficult, I wanted to play a part in taking the gospel and to the university students. So I joined this church. Then after a few years, one day he broke his hip and ended up in a care home. But then it was interesting to note that he took the initiative to contact the care home management and also the senior minister of the church and managed to run a Sunday service at the care home during his time. Then when he came out of the care home, I went one day to see him at the flat. He was very excited. He said, "You know what, Joel? I was thinking about reaching out to my carer. He's from South India. I know you are from South India." He said, "Tell me, Joel, what are some of the things I should do to better engage with my carer with the gospel?" And I said a few things to him, and he was very excited about it. And that's Donald. And Donald had his own problems in life, but he always wanted to do something for Jesus, which I found it very appealing. We all, as well as individuals, have a lot of problems. We have our issues, but we are also called in this passage to do something for Jesus. We are called to go, we are called to make disciples. And it's not just individuals, but churches have their own issues. Churches these days are attacked in so many ways in media, and the numbers in churches are going down. The churches have its own issues. We can all become inward looking, losing sight of the bigger realities in life, and not focusing on the task that God has given to us as individual Christians, but also as a church. But today's Bible passage will help us dwell on Jesus and his authority, and it can enable us to live for him in the midst of all life's challenges, taking comfort in his promise that he is always with us to the very end of the age. I'm going to look at it on 3 points, but the first point I'm going to look at now is Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. We see in verse 16 that the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain Jesus has told them to go. So where do we see that Jesus has told them to go? We see if in the same passage, if we go to verse 5, you could read that the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." So the angels have told that Jesus will go ahead of the disciples to Galilee. But it's just not the angels. If you look at verse 9, see suddenly Jesus met the women and he says, "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Not just in this passage, but if you also go to chapter 26, verse 32, Jesus, even before he was crucified, he told the disciple that after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. So Jesus has told them to go, and the 11 disciples went to Galilee, and they're on a mountain. Then in verse 17, when the disciples saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. This word doubted could be translated as hesitated. Probably some of the disciples hesitated to fall down before Jesus and worship him as God. To those 11 disciples, the first thing Jesus says was, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So in verse 18, Jesus mentions heaven and on earth. It could mean down below on earth and up above in the skies. It includes all of the universe. In all universe, there is no individual who is of higher authority than Jesus. It could also mean not only in the physical universe, but also in the spiritual world, under God the Father, there is no greater authority than Jesus Christ. Jesus has all authority and power to bring people to worship him. No one can stop him. So in this world, there are leaders who exercise power and authority. For instance, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has banned individuals from having a copy of the Bible. If your Christian faith is discovered in North Korea, you could be killed on your spot. If you aren't killed, you'll be sent to a horrendous labor camp and treated as a political criminal. You'll be punished with years of hard labor that few survive. Even though there are such strict laws, there are close to 400,000 Christians in North Korea. It's just not in our times. But also, if you look at 2,000 years of church history, no powerful leaders could stop Jesus from doing what he wanted to do in people's lives. Just not national leaders, but also individuals could not exercise their power and authority and stop Jesus from doing what he wanted to do in their lives. Today we see them as devout Muslims or Hindus or atheists and think who in the world has the power to make them follow Jesus. We probably don't have the power. But that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't have the power and the authority over their lives. He can make them Christians. He has all authority on heaven and on earth. And if someone has resisted Jesus' power and authority over their life in this world, they haven't fully succeeded in getting rid of Jesus. The Bible teaches Jesus will come back again as a judge of people of all nations. You can never keep Jesus out of your life. Only Jesus has the power and authority to keep us out of his kingdom. How are things between you and Jesus today? Do you belong to him? Do you know him as someone who has all authority and power on heaven and on earth? Does this truth bring joy to your heart? Jesus has all authority on heaven and on earth. Then the practical outcome of knowing and rejoicing in this truth about Jesus' absolute power and authority is that we become willing to do what Jesus has called his disciples to do. What has Jesus called his disciples to do? That is what we are going to look at in our next point, which comes up as Jesus commissioned his disciples to be involved in his gospel mission. So we can see in this passage, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That's verse 18. And then verse 19, he says, "Because he has all authority on heaven and earth, he asked his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So firstly, it is a privilege as disciples to have a commission from Jesus. Jesus does not call every human to be involved in his mission. But we see Jesus only called his disciples to be involved in his mission. It was Jesus who wanted to be the king over people of all nations. Not just the Jewish people, but people from all nations. So the word here, the all nations, could be translated as all people. Jesus wants to welcome people from every nation, every tongue, every tribe to be part of his kingdom. Today, even in Dagenham Parish Church, we see people from many nations being disciples of Jesus Christ. It's because it's Jesus who wants us to be part of his family, his kingdom. And Jesus offered his first disciples the privilege to be involved in his work. In the worldly kingdoms, sometimes when leaders like Keir Starmer or Donald Trump come to power, we watch closely who they choose to be their cabinet ministers. The people who have chosen by worldly leaders consider it as a great privilege to get an opportunity to work for such great governments. Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and earth, gave his disciples the privilege to be involved in his mission. The first 11 disciples were also called the apostles. That means they were eyewitnesses of Jesus and of his Jesus' teaching from the time he started his earthly ministries. The apostles were the eyewitness of Jesus' death and resurrection. However, in today's Bible passage, Jesus calls them as disciples to go and be involved in Jesus' global mission. So it's just not the initial 11 apostles, but disciples of Jesus over the past 2,000 years have seen it as a great privilege to be involved in Jesus' global mission. Even today in Dagenham, if you are a disciple of Jesus, you have a privilege to be involved in Jesus' mission. It is good to clarify at this point what I mean by the word disciple. You having born in a Christian family doesn't make you a disciple. You saying a few prayers to get better grades or earn more money doesn't make you a disciple. A disciple is someone who has understood from the Bible what it teaches about humans, that they are sinners, that they are spiritually dead, and are in bondage under an evil ruler called Satan. The Bible teaches we need to be rescued by Jesus and should be offered new life. A disciple looks to Jesus to be his Savior. Also, a disciple in the Bible is not satisfied with Jesus being his Savior alone. A disciple also wants Jesus to be his Lord. A disciple is willing to learn from Jesus and desires to obey all of Jesus' teaching. A disciple does not pick and choose what teaching of Jesus he is willing to accept. No disciple of Jesus is perfect. but he or she wants to be obedient to all of Jesus' teaching. That is because a disciple wants Jesus as Lord over their life. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Then King Jesus offers you the privilege of being involved in his global mission. But also the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples is a command. Dagenham is known for Ford Motor Company. Ford Company owners want their employees to be busy making cars and other automobiles. Imagine if in Dagenham the employees are thinking the car we make are not selling a lot, so we're going to get busy making sausage rolls and coffee. They don't really represent the Ford Company, do they? It's the same with church communities. Jesus has called his disciples to go and make disciples. Sadly, a lot of churches here in this land and many other countries have ended up running coffee mornings and doing other social activities on Sunday mornings to keep people coming into church buildings. In modern world, everyone is entitled to have their own views. Churches are concerned about what outsiders would think of them and don't see Jesus' call to go and make disciples as a command or a responsibility of all disciples. But in this passage we see, Jesus says in verse 19, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Jesus says, go, in verse 19. The 11 early disciples were called to go out and meet those who are not Jesus' disciples. They are to go and share the message of Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. The disciples are to go and call people to say sorry to God and find new relationship with him. Then the disciples are called to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the people are called to evangelize and bring people into a right relationship with God. But then the disciples are also called to teach those who are baptized to obey everything that Jesus has commanded them. Everything in the Bible needed to be taught. Everything in the Bible needed to be understood. Everything in the Bible needed to be obeyed. But it has to be done in the way Jesus commanded his disciples to understand and obey it. In Matthew's Gospel, there's 5 sets of Jesus' teachings that were recorded. In it, Old Testament teachings were interpreted by Jesus, and the disciples were commanded to obey the Old Testament scripture the way Jesus commanded them to obey. In today's Bible passage, Jesus called his disciples to teach and call people to obey everything Jesus has commanded his disciples to do. So you can see that in verse 20, he says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Those who are willing to obey all Jesus' commands live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus wants his disciples to do. He did not ask his disciples to come up with ideas like Sunday coffee mornings to get people to just come walking into church buildings. That doesn't help with fulfilling Jesus' command to be his disciples. What Jesus wanted was to teach all of his commandments so that people could live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is what we do as Christian disciples. We want to go during the week and in the weekend, as we go to schools or universities, to workplace, as we go for a walk in the park, meet our neighbors, when we meet parents during school runs. We want to think as Christian disciples, what can we do to engage with people we meet with the message of Jesus? We all need to pray that Jesus gives us the desire to fulfill his commands. outcome of what you do does not matter, but what matters is our willingness to obey Jesus' commands. It is a command to every disciple that we go and make disciples of all nations. Every disciple of Jesus Christ is called to play a part in making disciples. And to those who are involved in Jesus' mission of making disciples, Jesus makes a promise. And we see that in verse 20, and he says, "Surely I will be with you always to the end, very end of the age." That we'll see under the third point, Jesus is with us to the very end of age. So the third point, Jesus promised to be with us to the very end of age. Jesus did not promise us if we follow and obey his commission, we will have health and wealth. Jesus did not promise that everything will be all right if we go out, because he has all power and authority. To his disciples, he said, "People might even persecute you. They might say wrong things about you. They might mock you." There are a lot of things that Christians can experience. Jesus said, the evil spiritual forces can come against us. As Christians who are willing to follow Jesus' commands, we might face a lot of setbacks. Certain things are not promised, that we might not face difficulties in this world. But all Jesus promises is that he is with us through it all, to the very end of the age. In our good times, in our bad times, as Christian disciples who want to follow his commands and follow and do the Great Commission, all Jesus promises is that he is with us to the very end of the age. And this is the promise every Christian needs. And this is where we can all take comfort in. And we can all go out and fulfill the Great Commission. Sometimes we can look at ourselves. We can think we are very talented, we are very capable, and we can follow and do this Great Commission. And people who think they can do it, the Bible warns that be careful lest we fall. And there are others who think we can't do anything. We are not capable. We don't have the skills. We don't have the ability. But Jesus doesn't call us to look at ourselves. He calls us to look at him who is coming with us. He is promising that he will be with us to the very end of the age. To follow Jesus and to do what he calls us to do will be challenging, but Jesus promises to be always with us. He is there to comfort us. He is there to strengthen us. He is there to give us wisdom. He is there to give us guidance. He is there to support us. He is there to give us perseverance and endurance. And it's to him we look at to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus came into the world to reconcile sinners. And we as a church are also called to do the same. We also are called to go into this world and do whatever we can to bring sinners into a right relationship with God and to disciple them. In Jesus' Great Commission, we see that the job of making disciples requires that we do not sit back and focus on our own problems and worry about what will happen to us and our church, but to focus on Christ and his power and authority. We focus on his command to go and make disciples. And we take great comfort in what he has promised, that he is going to be with us to the very end of the age. So we go and make disciples, for we know he is going to be with us to support us to the very end of the age. Shall we all pray as we close? Father God, we thank you that you have given us this great privilege to be part of what you are doing in this world. Thank you that You have never abandoned us to be on our own. You're always with us. We pray that you help us. You pray that you would empower us to whatever way to fulfill the things that you call us to do. Bless us and make us a blessing to the people in Dagenham, but also to the nations. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.